Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly grateful you chose to be with me on this 30th day of June 2019 as we look at seeking the way. Yeah, I often get these wonderful emails, and I get a lot of them on this subject about what is the way, how do you get there, blah, blah, blah. We'll talk a little bit about that. I want to thank my sponsors for making this radio program possible, for making it possible for me to go to the hospital, to the hospice, to serve there. I want to thank them for allowing me to have the privilege of my career. And I hope that those of you who are listening, who have listened to Aspire for a long time or watched it on TV, watched it on our website here at aspire.org, that you would consider being a sponsor and helping us to sustain my efforts to help people through hospice work, hospital work, radio, TV, and all the other things I do that, well, are too numerous really to mention, and I don't want to talk about them, but there's a lot of things that your donations cover, and I need your support as always, because without your tax-deductible gifts, we cannot offer what we offer here on Aspire. So if you're interested, I ask that you go to the website at aspire.org, and there you will see at the top of the page, support. If you click on that, you will see why support Aspire. A little drop-down menu comes in, and you can read all about it. It will give you all the particulars about what it means to support Aspire and make these energies possible for people who need them so deeply. I mean, there are a lot of people who need them very deeply. And your gift, well, it means the world. You extend yourself into other people's lives through the compassion of your gift. If your gift is given in kindness, in care, in love, boy, that does a lot of really wonderful things for people, more than you might imagine. So be a sponsor. And for your sponsorship, you get a slew of things. My podcast, video cast commentaries, the message of the month sent to you, or you can download it from our website at aspire.org. And 122 discourses, TV discourses I did over the years on all of the various TV programs that I've done. And there are a slew of them, 122. So it's all there to be of service to you and to help you understand the way, the truth, and the light. So let's get into this. What is the way? Let me give you the first question. It's kind of interesting. How does a person seek the truth in a world of lies? Wow. Jackie from Toronto, Canada. Wow, all the way up in Toronto. That moves me. Thank you, Jackie, for listening. We do live in a world of lies. We do. Some of them are utterly pretentious in their precocious ideals of trying to deceive us and get what another person wants, or to deceive us by thinking that one thing is one way when it's really another. There's all sorts of deception out there, Jackie. And I understand what you're saying. We do. And then there is just the bent and construed way of looking at things through perception. And people look at things from the state of their perception. And their perception is based all the time, most of the time, in their genetic nature. Robert Spakovsky is truly one of the great biologists of this country, this world. He wrote a beautiful book called Behave. I highly, highly recommend it to those of you who want to understand the phenomenon of all of this. It's important. It brings about tremendous insight if you are looking at it from the point of view of science and what our bodies do. You know, until the awakening of a spiritual life is realized, people are subject to their biology. And that's all they can do is think and live from their biology. And it is interesting to me how we don't take care of that biology. We don't understand our mechanism. You don't go out and buy a car, at least most of us, don't go out and buy a car to maybe the whims of our emotional ego that says, oh, I want that car, and not really understand what it costs, how it fits in our budget or not, how it works, the way it works, what the maintenance is going to be, yada, yada, yada. I know a lot of people buy cars for the sake of prestige and all of that, but most of us look at a car and we try to figure out what it is that we can afford and what is the best, you know, for the bang of our own buck. And for a lot of people, spirituality, you know, it isn't even considered. They don't see it as a part of the makeup of the car you drive called your human body. I also am amazed at some of the things we will put in our fuel tank, our mouths, and think that we can consume that won't affect our health. We don't know much about our bodies. We don't generally care to know much about our bodies. So we don't really understand what drives us. And you have a choice in this life, Jackie. You can be driven by your biology. You can be driven by the mechanism, the engine of your human genetic DNA nature, or you can live inside that body with the awareness of what it is, its impulses, and what it wants you to do, and actually not go there, not to allow the body to guide you, to tell you what you can and cannot do. It is something you have in the nature of your being. So you ask me, how does a person seek the truth in a world of lies? You must first find out what the many myths are and the many presumptions you might have that cause the perception for you to live and think the way you do about your body, about your life, about your world, just to see it for what it is. Now, when you understand that, when you can understand that, when you can look at your body and go, okay, it has its impulses, it has its genetics, there are thousands of people that live in there from your genetic heritage that are actually pulsating in you. And sometimes we bring some to the foreground, sometimes in the middle ground, sometimes in the background, but they're all there and they're all telling you how to live your life. They come in the form of the impulses for money, greed, fear, anger, alcoholism, drug addiction. They're all there. They're all there. And any one of us could go from a Gandhi to a Charles Manson in a heartbeat. And that's just the way our bodies are built. So how are you going to find the way in a body that's filled with the mechanism and the murkiness of genetics from people you don't even know live and exist there? This is the big question, isn't it? It's called awareness. You have to have some sense of awareness. And what would make a person pursue awareness as a way of life? What is your way of life? What are you doing as a way of life, Jackie? Do you live for survival? DNA. Then you subject yourself to all sorts of perils in the human body, and that becomes the way you live your life, in the peril of trying to survive. Now, if you live for, let's say, family, that's also DNA, because you need the crowd around you, the tribe, to protect you and to give you a sense of purpose and meaning and safety and all that other stuff, survival. So you have that. So on and on and on all of this goes, and there's all sorts of ways of diagramming it and showing you how inconsistent we can be, how consistent we can be. It's fascinating. It is. It's just fascinating. I find the science of it all fascinating. So where does the spirituality fit in? It doesn't until one thing happens. Now, you got to hear me on this. I go to the hospital regularly to be with people. I see it as the morgue of human bodies trying to get well. They've abused these human bodies for a long, long time. Some of them were born into these human bodies. You'll learn about all that and behave. And there are difficulties in those human bodies and uglinesses that exist in there. So you have all this human stuff going on. Where's the spiritual? Where is that cup, as I like to call it, that you are handed, which is going to save your life, as it were, your real life? I'm going to give you a word, Jackie. And if you haven't felt this word, if you haven't understood this word, if this word means nothing to you, then you will continue on in the fight for your survival through your DNA and your genetics. The word is futile. The body is going to get old, get sick, and die. Buddha talked about this. It was the major premise of his own spiritual quest and his own awakening. You have to see the futility of living by the biology alone. And you would think, you really would think, people would get that right off the bat. You would think there's so many smart people in this world, but we're only as smart as our ignorance allows us to be. So we look at people, objects, and things. We see the way they are. We see how they work. And we don't learn from them. We don't see because we're ignorant. We don't learn. We don't mature because we're only as smart as our ignorance about our life actually is. And if you live your life in accordance with that ignorance, and you think that that ignorance is your knowledge, then you're going to see that the human body, you think it's never going to get old, it's never going to get sick, it's never... How many people at hospice have I had look at me and say, and I swear to you, hundreds, Greg, I never thought this would happen to me. Really? You never thought it would... So people are so distracted by their body, by their circumstance, by their pleasuring, by their gratifications, they can't realize what the core of their life is and what they're really doing here in the core of their life. They just can't see it, they don't want to see it, and they're not available to it. Such is the way of most people. So the lies are within us, Jackie. They're not in just the world. Everybody's lying to a certain degree to themselves. We all do. I do. Everyone does. But how far we take that, how far we go with that, what we want to do with that, how that all works, that's something different. That's something very, very different. You're going to have to reach futility. That's all I can say. It is the great teacher of humankind. Jackie, I hope that helps. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Carol in Las Vegas, Nevada. Is truth subjective? Seems so to me. I keep changing what I think is true and what I think is false. Is that the way? Carol. Truth is subjective. You are correct. It is. But subjective to what? That is the real question. Is my truth subjective because it has its preferences in my genetic nature? My genetics that say this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. Is that what it's all about? Is that what it is for me? Well, for the most part, that is what it is for most of us. We live in a prejudice, Carol. This prejudice is the gathering of our genetic nature that allows us to think and to reason and to logify things. Just because I think and I reason and I can logify, as I like to call it, things, doesn't make them right. Just because I can get from 2 to 2 and come up with 6 and have a quote-unquote logical reason for coming to 6 doesn't mean 6 is the right number. Doesn't mean that at all. But I can, in my mind, logically think that 6 is correct. And I can hold to that for the rest of my life. This is called prejudice. And no matter what someone else might say, or someone else might do, or someone else might teach, I'm going to look at it and go, no, it's this way. And that's just the way, because it makes, quote, end quote, sense to me. And as long as I live in that kind of ill mind, ill emotion, because it is coming from emotion, I'm going to be set and determined on the way of my life, the way, ultimately, the way that the ego likes to look at things and make up things and believe in things. Yes, I'm afraid that what we call truth is subjective, but that doesn't make it true, and that doesn't make it truth either. The truth is something that lives deep inside, beyond my genetics, beyond my body, beyond reasoning, beyond right and wrong, beyond good and bad. It lives in the heart, and it reveals the soul. And it is only realized through quiet, meditation, energy work, tone. You have to let go of the facade, Carol, of the human body, the human mind, the human psyche, the human ego. You have to let go of that human. You have to stop identifying with it and just sit in the silence of your being, awakening, awakening, awakening ever so slightly every day of your life. Awakening, awakening, awakening. Now, when you do this, when you can awaken in this manner, when you can awaken in this practice, and it is a practice, you start becoming less and less susceptible to perception as reality. You start to see ignorance diminishing. And you will find a lot of our ignorance is based, I know you won't believe this, but it's true, on superstition. We're superstitious people. Well, if you do this, that's going to happen. Really? How do you know that's going to happen? If you don't do that, then that might not happen. Well, how do you know that? Well, I've seen it in other people. You don't know. I don't know. A lot of my truths or my ideals about truth are based in the assumption of a prejudice that I am just basically superstitious about. It makes no sense to do. It isn't something that most people want to admit they do, but we do it. And we do it over and over and over again, and we never mature or grow past it. So what can I say to you? It is all about the love of your life, finding the love of your life. And if you don't find this love that lives inside you, you will not find your life anywhere around you. Your life does not consist of the circumstances that your mind can conceive of and conjure up through ignorance. Your life is not about the state of your body and how it perceives things. It's not about any of those things. Your life is separate from all of this, and you must find out what that means. What do you mean my life is separate? You must find out what that means for yourself. If you don't go in search of, then you have no inner curiosity. You have no inner ability to look beyond the ideals of your own thinking, the ignorance of your own thinking. And that leads me to come back to the same conclusions about my life over and over and over again, to nauseating detail. And then nothing really ever changes. It's just all about staying the same and wanting everything to remain the same. Carol, wake up. Wake up. Don't live in the quasi-subjectiveness of your body, of your mind, of your ego, of any of it. Just look at things for the way they are. How is it you arrived at this place? How is it you arrived at this heartless life where you are not seeking the advantage of the awakening that can happen to the soul, which is purely an experience of love? That is what it's all about, to let love live you. I hope you understand that. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This comes from Rick. He does not tell me where he lives. Can I really know the truth? What part of me can know? Rick. Wow. I was very moved by your email. And I want to thank you, Rick, for what you said. There was more to it than that. There was about Aspire. Can you really know the truth? You are the truth. You can't convince Rick of it. That's the whole key. You can't convince Rick. You can know the truth because you are the truth. But if you only think you are the truth from the ideals of what maybe Rick thinks or the ignorance of Rick, then you will never know the truth that will set you free. It's never a matter of looking at something in our life and saying, I know that. It's a matter of, I am that. You are the way. You are the truth. You are the light. You are the tone. And that's why I work with tones and reverberation in my meditations, because in the highest realm, it's about the vibration, the inner vibrations that live within us, and they are accentuated through tones that live in the universe and go out and are there forever. They bring about the light and the breath of what it means to live consciously, in consciousness. People who just have listened to music or have listened to words all throughout their lifetime and have not been able to convey a meaning or find a meaning in those things can only listen to words and thoughts and music and everything kind of from a emotional state. Words and music and tones have to pleasure the emotions. Well, in Tibetan pulsing work, in the work of tones, those tones are not always going to be pleasing to the human emotions. In fact, they're going to reveal the state of human emotion, and you'll start to see things the way they are in you, and you're going to find that the things that are the pinnacle of, shall we say, resonation and beauty are now things inside of you that are annoying, just annoying. Everybody tries to find a rhythm to it, some kind of musical thing that makes them feel like they're listening to maybe classical music or something. But that's not the way it works, and that's not how it works. Everything that is resonating inside you is learning and leading you to learn how to let love live you. That's the whole key. Not to let hate live me, but how do I let love live me? I hope that helps you, dear Rick. I really do. And I hope that it spurs you on to move on within yourself. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste. Well, there's our programs for the weekend. I'm grateful you listen. I really am. I'll be back on the air next week. We're going into retreat week. and I'll have a couple of extra programs here for you. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.